You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. Well, Happy New Year and Happy Epiphany to you all. Epiphany, of course, is that season in the church year that always begins on January 6th, after the 12 days of Christmas. In the early church, the Feast of the Epiphany was a celebration of Jesus' baptism, the beginning of Christ's public ministry. Later on, it came to be associated with Christ's manifestation to the Gentile world, represented in the Magi, or wise men, who came from the East. Either way, this season of Epiphany has come to be a season dedicated to celebrating Jesus' ministry to all people. And it did all begin right there on the Jordan River. And given its historical context, it really is an amazing baptism to consider, and one filled with great hope for each of us and for all people. So that is what this sermon is about. Briefly considering the history of baptism in the ancient world and the context into which Jesus himself was baptized, and then applying the relevance of Christ's baptism for you and me, and in particular for those being baptized here and around the world today. Historically, in ancient Judaism, baptism was a ritual washing set aside for two groups of people. First, for converts to the Jewish religion, because the Jews considered all Gentiles to be unclean. But secondly, baptism was a religious ritual for those already in the faith who had become defiled. Anyone who had made him or herself unclean through blatant sinful behavior, or just not following all of those religious laws. And therefore, what made John the Baptist's message so shocking was his insistence that everyone needed to be baptized, not only the Gentiles, but also all of the children of Abraham, even the well-behaved scribes and Pharisees. No matter how righteous they thought themselves to be, they too were in need of baptism. And they too must acknowledge this openly if they were to, in the words of John the Baptist, be prepared for the kingdom of God. Of course, we now understand that John was indeed a forerunner to Christian baptism. In other words, that he was preparing the way for a whole new way of understanding baptism that still impacts us today. Because as a Christian, you don't get baptized unless you need the forgiveness it represents. Now, this may be easier to believe with an adult baptism than it is with an infant baptism, but it's true. You don't get baptized unless you need the forgiveness it represents. Unfortunately, many people have a false idea about what baptism is really all about. They see baptism as some kind of magical fire insurance, to be a little crass about it, meaning that they think they are bringing their innocent and flawless children to church to have them baptized as a means of protecting them and securing their salvation from all of the evils of the world that are out there. And we explain that we are all, each and every one of us, born with this awful disease called original sin. Therefore, we all need the forgiveness and cleansing that can only come from the blood of Christ. And those who receive that cleansing and believe in his name, we then outwardly acknowledge as members of the faith through the outward sacrament of baptism. For infants, that faith is present in the parents and godparents making promises on their behalf. And it's a big responsibility. I got an email once that read, after the baptism of his baby brother, 4-year-old Jacob sobbed all the way home in the back seat of the car. His father asked him repeatedly, "What's wrong, son? Why are you so upset on such a day of great celebration?" Finally, the boy replied, "That preacher said he wanted us brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." Which is to say that we all need the forgiveness and regeneration that is represented in baptism. But did Jesus? Have you ever considered that? Some commentaries stress that this was yet another way that Jesus was modeling for us what we should do. Others focus on Jesus' obedience to God, meaning that God had given John the prophetic word that all should come to receive a baptism of repentance. Therefore, Christ was just being obedient to God's command. To be sure, all of the commentaries have something to say about Jesus' baptism, but most come back to Jesus' response in John's hesitation, which is recorded in Matthew's gospel. "Let it be so for now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." What does that mean? Well, some 700 years before Christ, Isaiah had made a famous prophecy. He prophesied that the coming Messiah would be, quote, "numbered among the transgressors." Of course, the Bible teaches us that Jesus was like us in every way except that he was without sin. He wasn't defiled and therefore didn't need baptism. Yet there he was, being numbered among the transgressors. And this is why the context of Jesus' baptism is so significant and why I'm making such a big deal about it today, because John wasn't baptizing people in their grandparents' pretty white baptism gown in a beautiful synagogue. Not that there's anything inherently wrong with doing that. I too was baptized in such a gown, as were my children. But we need to understand that the line that Jesus got in for baptism was a line of people in need, some who were at the very end of their rope. And so I'm compelled to ask this morning, are you in any way in need today? Maybe concerned over an older loved one whose health is deteriorating, over a younger loved one who is battling over an addiction to a poisonous drug. You fill in the blank. Finances, relationships, a regret. We were talking last week with our children about New Year's resolutions, and that's what was suggested for me. "Dad, you need to resolve this year to just not have any more regrets." That's always fun, isn't it? Getting unsolicited advice on New Year's resolutions. What are you struggling with? Of course, I guess we all always have our needs put into perspective every time we read the newspaper or watch the news. When our relatively comfortable first world concerns and lives are confronted by the fact that there are many around the world, some who live just right down the street, who are struggling just to have their basic necessities met. And the words of Christ come to mind. "As you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." Because from the very beginning of his public ministry, Jesus was the one who affirmed his solidarity with sinners and those in need. It's the power of the incarnation. Bette Midler got it wrong. God isn't watching us from a distance. Christ is with us, Emmanuel, which gives us the assurance that if we are in any way in need today, Jesus is willing and able to be present with us right where we are. In fact, every step of his ministry from the moment of his baptism forward was a step closer to the cross, where he would hang, friend of sinners and those in need, with one on his left and one on his right, and all those below praying for them, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so today we do celebrate the baptism of these three beautiful children into the family of God. And we celebrate the fact that we are free to stand publicly to reaffirm our own membership in God's family. And it is good and right for us on this great occasion to get all dressed up and celebrate afterward, but it would all be meaningless if we didn't first understand what it is really all about, and that is that we are all born in need of forgiveness, and we'll all have a lifelong, never-ending need for a kind of spiritual regeneration that can only come from the one who was numbered among the transgressors for our sake, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.